This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Randall M. Allegut. Randall, or Randy, has been a partner at the law firm of Broad & Castle for 27 years, where he founded and now co-leads the Affordable Housing Law Department. He's married to Jennifer, with five kids ranging from 15 to 22 years of age, three of whom were adopted in Russia. Randy coaches high school football, is active in Dream Builders, and attends Mosaic Community Church. He has a broad range of experience in corporate and security matters with specific emphasis on private placements, joint ventures, acquisitions, limited partnerships, and franchises. A couple of fun facts about Randy. He has completed more than 1,000 affordable housing transactions worth in excess of $1 billion on 300 different projects for 15 different clients in 25 states. He is an AV preeminent rated attorney by Martindale Hubbell, achieving the agency's highest marks for both competency and ethics. Randy, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be here.
You know, before we get started, tell us a little bit about this competency rating.
You know, I'm not real sure. I don't pay attention to that very much, actually.
All right.
I know that they poll other lawyers that I've worked with before, and they rate me. And so, fortunately, it turned out good.
So this is a peer rating?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that interested me about it is that it talks about competency and it talks about ethics. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of this podcast is sort of business competency mm-hmm. and Bible principles, which are almost the same thing in a lot of ways as ethics. So the rating sort of puts you in a perfect spot to be the person here as a guest today. Tell us about Broad & Castle, in your own words.
We've been around for a long time. It's a statewide law firm. I think we have 9 or 10 offices about the state, and about 180 lawyers, 190 lawyers. I don't count. Ever since God told the Jews not to count, I just don't count.
You don't count anymore.
Don't count. But we practice just about every area of the law, and I'm in the Orlando office, and I'm in the Affordable Housing Department.
Do you supervise that area? Is that
I
under
do.
You or a...
I do. Back in 1989, when I joined Broad & Castle, my first client was a guy named Allen Ginsberg. Mm. And he asked me to review a partnership agreement for him, and I did. And he looked at me and said, "That's a beautiful job. You're my lawyer, but you don't know anything about affordable housing, do you?" And I said, "You're right, I don't." He goes, "Well, learn everything you can learn." And so I did. There were only about 2 or 3 people that were doing it at the time. And so it wasn't hard to jump into, but it was a program that was started by Ronald Reagan. And so we took it from there, and today we have a lot more clients and about 10 lawyers in my department, about 20, 25 people altogether.
And Allen Ginsberg is known throughout the country as a... an expert in that area in terms of building. Is that correct?
He's built hundreds of thousands of apartments, yeah.
Something you may not know is that I had a triple bypass heart surgery
at the Ginsburg,
7 years
yeah.
ago.
Did you?
And it was at the Ginsburg Tower at Florida Hospital.
Some of that money was made from affordable housing.
So yeah. I thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I'm glad it worked.
So this podcast is about people who want to be wiser leaders, and wiser here being how you gain insights from both business and Bible to move a company or organization forward. As you think about supervising and working with your department, What are some of the characteristics that you like to project as a leader? Not an attorney, but as a leader.
Well, I can answer that with a example of what not to do.
Okay.
And then lead into something, the cure for it. About 15 years ago, I noticed, I was told that I had this look. And I'm kind of a grinder. I like to shut the door and go to work. And one of the, I guess, the benefits and the detriments that I have is I like to work hard, and I enjoy hard work. And I don't like to be interrupted. So I learned 15 years ago that when somebody opened my door and interrupted me, that I had this look like, what are you doing here? Why don't you go in a corner and die or something? And when I heard that, it hurt because I didn't want to portray that. I didn't want these people to be dreadful of coming to my office and asking questions and so forth. So I had to think about that and think about why I was doing that. The reason why, I believe, was because I was putting my work ahead of the people in my department. And I realized, I don't want that to be. People are far more important than the contract that I'm sitting there reading at the moment, or negotiating, or whatever I'm doing. The people that work for me, and even the people that don't work for me, people that call on the telephone, are far more important. And I was viewing them as a resource, for me. But when I started thinking about my position with them as their leader, I thought, really, I'm the resource for them. And I'm the one who serves them. I'm the one who plugs in when they go on vacation. I'm the one who recommends them to get the highest raise that they can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who helps them. They're not necessarily the one. I don't need to view them as resources for me.
We have a feature for each podcast called Sunday to Monday. And basically what it is that we talk about a verse or something that you might hear from a pulpit mm-hmm. in a church on Sunday, and something you could take with you into your work life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read a verse to you and ask you for your reaction to it. And it has to do with Scripture, and it's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. When you think about Scripture and its role in your work life, does this fit your demeanor as an individual?
I think it does. I want it to. It doesn't always, but I want it to. And for example, in Proverbs, it talks about how a soft word is received better than a hard word.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like in one of the movies, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. So when I'm talking or correcting somebody or training somebody, I want to make sure that it's soft. I want to make sure that it's clear, but that it's soft and it's receivable, and it doesn't have anger in it. I think Proverbs says that anger is the enemy of instruction. And so I want to make sure that there's no hint of anger in anything I'm doing when I speak with the people that work for me. Because, frankly, I do depend on them, and I want them to grow. I think they're interested in growth. I think they're interested in becoming better at what they do and better people, and I want to help them do that.
Something people might be interested in that you do has to do with your luncheon series.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, what you do and why you do it.
Well, that was born out of that look that I had.
Oh, is that right?
It was. I realized that they weren't getting a chance to get to know me, and I didn't really view myself as a like I said, a dreadful person. I viewed myself as a nice person who cared deeply about them, but I just didn't have a chance to show it. So we started a lunch, and we used to do it once a week, and then went to once a month. And now it kind of goes back and forth, but we're very intentional about it. And the idea is to get together, have lunch, buy them lunch, the firm buys him lunch, and we talk about nothing. We talk about whatever, dogs, cats, relatives, relationships. Me, I talk about my children. I talk about my wife. I talk about coaching football. I talk about whatever stories we might have. And so we do that. And by doing that, they get a chance to know me. And so I'm much more approachable. And now I think no one has an issue. I feel too approachable.
Too approachable? The door opens a lot now.
Door opens a lot.
Okay. Well, that's a good benefit. Mm-hmm. Now, what actually, and I say that's a good benefit, what is the benefit of doing that in terms of your law practice?
I think that it's important for people to be comfortable when they work. I think that fear holds people back. And so, when God says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, I don't want the spirit of fear in my office. I want us to feel like a family. I want us to feel like we support each other and we have each other's back. And when people are comfortable, I think they start getting more confident. And when people get more confident, I think they start doing a better job.
Tell us about your views regarding humility and how they fit into the workplace.
I think it goes along with the idea of service, of me being a servant. As a leader, I am their servant. So if I think that takes some humility, I think the fact that as I think about these folks and just knowing that I was going to come here today to do this podcast, it made me start thinking about each one of them. Some of them have been with me 18 years, and it just made me really thankful. And I think the thankfulness leads me to humility and leads me to a humble approach with each of these people that work with me.
And I know you're a strong believer in relationships with clients that goes just beyond a document that you might give someone. Does humility play a role in your interaction with clients as well?
I tell my clients, treat me like you would a tradesman. My clients develop and construct apartment complexes, and they understand how to deal with plumbers and electricians and architects and engineers and so forth. They just treat me just like one of those people, and I'm here to help you get across the finish line. That's my job. I want to get you from A to Z. I know where you want to go, so I want to get you there in a way that makes you happy, and it's a win-win, hopefully, for both sides, and that's efficient.
You mentioned the idea of win-win, and we've been talking a lot about Proverbs today, and Proverbs 22:4 says that the rewards of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Mm-hmm. Riches and honor. And that seems like a scriptural promise that there will be an outcome from that humility. Do you see riches and honor coming from or possibly coming from humility?
I do. I've never really thought of it that way, but now that you mention it, it makes a lot of sense. It does seem to follow. I don't really view riches, though, as what I have in the bank account.
Right.
I view riches as the riches that I have in Christ. And so I've got right now plenty of money in the bank account, but it hasn't really made me, given me lasting happiness. I know that Christ is my source.
So when you think about riches here, it's riches of life and quality of life and quality of relationships.
It's peace. It's peace and contentment, satisfaction of the soul, things like that that we all really crave, and we think that there's other ways to get there, but really there's only one way.
And so this might be another illustration of really putting together the idea of business and Bible again, where if you walk in this scripture, the results would be a more lasting, a more sustainable organization, it would seem.
I agree. And I think it has to be a real humility. And real humility seems to come from giving credit where credit's due and being thankful for what we've been given and recognizing really that apart from Christ, we're nothing.
Have you ever had to forgive anybody for anything in your organization? You're all perfect there?
We've had our share of ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and we've made mistakes. And it's kind of like with my wife. We have this thing we call do-over. Oh. And so right when I do something, she's like, you need a do-over on that one, buddy. And I said, okay, thank you. Can I get a do-over? And so I think with the understanding that we get a lot of do-overs and God's grace is so pervasive and His grace always abounds that it's only natural to extend that grace to the people who offend me. And so, yeah, I've had to I don't really judge that much, and I don't really carry grudges. So I think that's a result of the fact that God doesn't, He's judged me already in Christ, and He doesn't carry a grudge against me.
So when you talk about your do-over, it reminds me of my poor golf game and a mulligan, and get a do-over there as well. You are reading a book done by John Piper, and it talks about the idea of hedonism, which people at first glance think, well, that's, you know, what that can't be anything very good. But mm-hmm. then he puts an adjective in front of it, which is Christian, and Christian hedonism.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what this is all about.
I think it's about finding my enjoyment in God Himself and all that He has, all that He is, and all that He's done, and all that He promises to do. And it gives the believer an excuse to rid himself of the thought that we always have to be true and obedient to a point where we're grinding our teeth, that we really ought to be seeking true enjoyment in Him as the object of our affection. And so it's the word hedonism, I agree, it's a little tough to swallow, but at the same time, I totally agree that God is worthy of our affections.
Awesome. We end each podcast, and we are at the end, with a pearl of wisdom. And that's the one insight that maybe comes from what you've said, maybe it's completely mm-hmm. different. But something that you would advise an individual to listen to internalize, and to use in the workplace. What would that be?
Especially for the believer, obviously. It's the verse that seems to keep coming back to me, whether it's coaching football or in work or at home. And that's to work as if unto the Lord with all my heart and not as if unto men. And my favorite part about that is to answer the question, why? Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my football players and I tell the folks in my department who want to know that because of the fact that God loves me perfectly. And I can work for a guy who has demonstrated His love for me in such an amazing way and continues to do so. It's very difficult for someone to work to please Randy all the time because sometimes they're not going to like Randy. It's very difficult for a player to play for his coach all the time because sometimes the player's not, even for the other players on the team or the other people in my department, yeah, we're a family, but sometimes there's going to be friction. But there is no instance where if we understand what God has done and who He is, that we would have friction with Him. He has done everything He needs to do. So I would say it's easy for me to work as if unto Him.
I'm glad you brought up your football team, because these notions are not applicable just in business organizations, but organizations of all kinds, including the family. Give us a little bit on the work of a football player and how that football player needs to work for God as opposed to Randy, the coach.
Yeah, I tell him, I said, look, you know, I love you guys and you know it, but there are going to be days you don't like me because I'm going to work you so hard you're not going to like me, or you're going to think I'm unfair because maybe you didn't get to play this particular time. But let me tell you, God loves you completely, unconditionally. And there's never a reason for you not to like Him. And I would rather you learn to play for Him and for His glory based on the unique way He's made you so that you can benefit others by the athletic talents and your heart and your mind being devoted to him, because he's worthy of that devotion. I'm not, as a coach, I'm not worthy of that. So work as if unto him. No regrets. No regrets, guys. Don't waste this minute. Let's use this minute for the best.
Awesome. Unfortunately now, Randy, your time is up. Thank you so much for being here today. Listeners can find Randy with the email address, and let me spell it out, RALLIGOOD at BRADANDCASSEL.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. From discussion on page 56 of my book, Chasing Wisdom, today's final thought to help you become a wiser leader is this: make sure that people only get rewards for doing work the right way. If you do this, you'll be surprised at what happens. I'll see you next Wednesday. In the meantime, keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.